sports, politics, life, Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Well, it took over 25 years, but the Big 12 Conference finally has a commissioner that understands how the conference can reach its potential and be everything that it can be. It was a big day on Thursday in the Big 12 as Colorado announces, and the Big 12 jointly announces, the Buffaloes will be joining the Big 12 Conference as program number 13 next year. All right, it's confusing. There's 14 this year, but Oklahoma and Texas will be leaving after this season. That brings the Big 12 to 12. Now Colorado's in, that's 13. There's obviously at least one more spot and potentially three more spots available in the Big 12 as Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, is rating the Pac-12 at this point. Looks like he's got his eyes set on Washington as the next possible school to be joining the Big 12. There's a lot of rumblings that the Washington board is meeting about the possibility of leaving the Pac-12 and coming to the Big 12. And if that happens, you have to feel like Oregon is going to go, uh-oh, what do we do? And the thought is, if Washington jumps, Oregon's going to try to find a landing spot in the Big 12, which would be a 15th school at that point. And then what's number 16? Arizona State would fight it out to see which school from that state would get in. I think this is probably the plan, although the Big 12 is also looking at UConn and other basketball schools, maybe a separate affiliation with more teams or more schools in basketball that don't play football. It's all on the board, and it's all possible, and it's very clear to see what Brett Yormark is doing here. This will be a better television conference than with Texas and Oklahoma. As much as the networks love the OU-Texas football game, it's one game. Texas and Oklahoma don't really move the needle nationally, or haven't, with their television ratings. There's nothing that bears any semblance of detail or fact that Oklahoma and Texas get eyeballs watching them play when they're playing Texas Tech or Kansas State any different than Kansas State playing TCU. So Yormark gets it. Here's what he's done. He has lost Oklahoma and Texas. He has added the television markets with the new conference, with the schools that were coming in. He inherits Orlando, Houston, Cincinnati, and Salt Lake City. He now adds Denver with the Colorado Buffaloes and is eyeing Seattle and potentially Phoenix for this conference. The big losers in all this, in my opinion, there's two that jump right off the page at me. The first is the University of Utah, which Yormark, I think, initially was looking at Utah saying, okay, if you're the first to jump, once one of the teams leaves the Pac-12, that conference is going to fold, and we'll pick and choose who we want. But he needed that first school to jump. Utah was playing hard to get, was like, well, we're academically this and academically that, and we're too good for the Big 12. We're not leaving. We were happy with our move. Utah is now hung out in no man's land. I didn't understand courting Utah from the beginning, because if you have BYU, you have Salt Lake City. Why go for Utah at that point? You've got BYU. I don't understand duplicity. I don't understand why you would want Arizona and Arizona State. If you can pluck one of them, take one of them. You've got the television markets. I think that's what he's doing here. We'll have to see how this all plays out. So Utah's a big loser. I think they've got no chance of coming in this league. The second biggest loser, in my opinion, a lot of people disagree with this, is the University of Missouri. The University of Missouri could have been the school that jumped and said, we're going back to the Big 12 because for our future, this is the best possible thing. Missouri hasn't been competitive in the SEC. They just haven't been. It's been, at best. When they were a Big 12 football program, the first couple of years they went into the SEC, they were competitive. They recruited in Texas. Gary Pinkel had the thing going. But as Pinkel left, as the players from Texas dried up, Missouri football has fallen on harder times. They've made a couple of iffy coaching hires. They've made some mistakes. But to be honest, who wants the job? Why would you want to go into that conference and coach at Mizzou? It doesn't make much sense. Missouri shouldn't be in that league. They belong in the Big 12. They can sit there with their fists full of dollars and say, hey, this is great. We're making more money than Big 12 schools. But for what? What about your fans? What about your alumni? What about the enjoyment of athletics? And that's what all this is about. Missouri had the chance. I don't think they could come in now if they wanted. I think their only shot to come back, and they are completely uninterested. They had meetings. The Board of Regents, the board I know for a fact, discussed this fairly recently, and it was just shot down. We're not even considering it. No, out, forget it, end of conversation. We're an SEC school. Great. You've got your money. You've got mediocrity. You've got very little chance to compete for titles in the conference. And now the big thing swirling around college athletics is the SEC, which is ruthless, and they're the best conference. There's no arguing that. The Big Ten used to be. It's now the SEC. The SEC's calling the shots. The big word out there is that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to have some sort of an alliance and form a super conference. Now, there's 14 schools in each of those leagues. That's 28. Right now, there's going to be two more coming in to the Big Ten, USC and UCLA. There's 30. There's going to be two more coming into the SEC, Oklahoma and Texas. There's 32. Is that where it stops? Are they going to 36? Do they want to get down to 28? What is it that they want to do? If they're going to form some sort of a super alliance for television revenue and everything else, how many schools will it be? And the dangerous part is for schools like Missouri, Vanderbilt, Rutgers, what if they decide to kick you to the curb? What if they decide to get smaller, have more money for themselves, have the bigger programs, which seems to be both leagues, all right? They just went out and got USC, UCLA, Oklahoma, and Texas. What if they decide, we just don't have time for the Vandys and the Rutgers and the Mizzou's of the world anymore? You're out. We're going to get smaller, make more money for ourselves, but it will be the right programs. I don't know. We haven't seen contraction before, but I got to think it's on the table if that's what they're doing. It would be ruthless, and it would be a disaster at that point for Mizzou if that happened. And I know not one single Missouri fan thinks that's even possible, but I think anything is possible in all this. What didn't happen and what was misjudged for over 15 years were all the Clay Travises in the world saying the Big 12 was going to fall apart. It was going to be ripped at the seams. It started with Missouri leaving and A&M leaving. Everybody said Oklahoma and Texas were going to go to the Pac-12. I said over and over and over, there is no reason for them to go west. That makes no sense whatsoever. The television time slots aren't what they need. There was no reason ever that the Pac-12 was going to get Oklahoma and Texas. Now they're going to the SEC, and I think they both made big mistakes here. I do. I think competitively, this will be the worst thing for Oklahoma and Texas. I think they're just asking for trouble joining that conference. I think Oklahoma football, their best days are behind them. If they don't win a conference title this year in the Big 12, I don't know if we'll ever see another conference title for Oklahoma in our lifetime. I think it's probably over in the SEC. I think they're dead and gone. New schools, when they join leagues, are seen differently. It's not the same. There's really no history of anybody leaving to another league and having more success. Everybody that leaves fails. Colorado left, failed. Missouri left, worse. Nebraska left, worse. A&M, worse. All worse, 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 worse. Everybody that leaves and goes does worse. So what Colorado said was, we're going to go back. We're going to go back where we've won league titles and national championships. They just went 1-11. They hired Deion Sanders as their coach. Coach Prime is there. They're jacked up. They're selling tickets right and left. They're like, let's get in to a stable conference with $32 million a year in revenue, a television contract for several years out. Let's take stability. Let's go. And Colorado did that. And the Big 12 should be applauded. They finally have a commissioner that understands, to borrow the phrase from the SEC, it just means more. It seriously, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, there's no comparison. I've spent a great deal of time in Arizona, around Arizona State, University of Arizona, all these schools in the Pac-12 country. It doesn't matter much. The athletics there don't matter like they do here in the Midwest. The biggest winners in all of this, the biggest winners, and it's not even close, the biggest winners are the loyal schools to this conference. KU, K-State, Iowa State, Oklahoma State. They are traditional, small college towns outside of major metropolitan areas that are what we know and what we love about colleges and college athletics. And they can go bring in city schools like Arizona State, Colorado to a certain extent. It's so close to Denver. Boulder is to a certain extent, but Boulder's a college town. They can bring in these city schools from Orlando and Cincinnati and Houston, potentially Seattle, Phoenix. They can bring them in. But what we love about college athletics is the history and tradition of rivalries, geography, small town, college towns, and the identity of those schools. And don't make no mistake about this. Colorado coming back is a massive win for KU, K-State, Iowa State, and Oklahoma State, who have remained loyal to this conference. They do not bring to the table what a lot of these television eyeballs and much bigger schools bring. Much bigger schools bring. They don't, but they've won. Somehow, after all these years, those schools stayed together, unified, had a vision, and are calling the shots at this point. They have the history, the tradition. This is just fantastic. This was a long time coming. I'm surprised it didn't actually happen quicker after Oklahoma and Texas decided to leave. So that's a little surprising to me that it didn't happen quicker. And I think the next domino to fall should be relatively quickly. I think Brett Yormark knows exactly which school he wants next. And at this point you say, jump on the train or we're leaving the station. And that school will and should have to act fairly quickly to solidify 14 teams for next year in the Big 12. And if I'm Yormark, I'm not stopping there. I'm going to 16, and I think I'm going to do everything I can to get Washington, Oregon, and either Arizona or Arizona State, but not both. And I think that's the way you play this out. It's the same reason you have BYU until Utah to hit the road. You take one in each market. If they added that, you would add Seattle, Portland, and Phoenix to your television footprint, along with Orlando, Houston, Cincinnati, Salt Lake City, and Denver. The way to look at this, okay, and I know that the SEC and the Big Ten are in massive positions of power right now in college athletics. I'm not diminishing that in any way. The Big 12 is clearly third. But for television contracts and future contracts, when you look at the markets that they potentially add to this league, the television markets, and the eyeballs in those markets, think of this as major league sports. What if you were, let's say, the NFL before the merger, and you had, what, 18 teams, 20 teams, something like that? Before the merger, you're a smaller league, and you had a chance. We're not talking about some 32-team league in, you know, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball. If your league was national, if you had a national footprint, and people knew you and recognized you, and you had a television contract, and you had a chance to add professional teams in the following markets: Orlando, Houston, Cincinnati, Salt Lake City, Denver, Seattle, Portland, and Phoenix. What would you say about the expansion of your professional league? I mean, this is a real plan. This is four time zones, which is the most important part. You got to get into that Pacific time zone. All right, this is another mountain time zone team, Colorado. You got to get into the Pacific time zone. That's a very big deal. They literally on Saturdays for their television partners can kick off a game on the Kansas City time, Central time. You could kick off a game in the East at 10 a.m. and you could kick off a game in the West at 10 p.m. You literally could provide 16 hours of football or 15 and a half hours of football every single Saturday. You can offer to play on Friday nights. You can play on Thursday nights before Thursday night football. You could start at 6 p.m. pretty easily. You could do Monday night games. You could play midweek games if you want. There's all kinds of things you can do. These television networks just want inventory. They want games. They like the idea of starting an hour, hour and a half before Monday Night Football. And then if the game's exciting and more exciting than Monday Night Football, the pro game, you're going to get people watching. I mean, there's just nothing you can say about Brett Yormark, the new commissioner of the Big 12, that you can't love about this guy. Now, it could get squirrely with this basketball vision thing that he has. I don't know. I've never been big on leagues of, okay, they have these teams in football and these in basketball. When you hear Gonzaga and UConn and some of these others, are we talking about just adding them for basketball? I know he wants to sell the future television contracts. He wants to split them up. He wants to do a football contract and a basketball contract. And if he adds the right basketball programs in basketball only, he'll be able to do that. I don't think there's any question about it. You go add UConn and Gonzaga, and try to add some really great basketball programs in certain markets, you've got something. This is the best basketball league. It's only going to get better. And I think the sky's the limit here. The future is really, really bright for the Big 12. It was a huge winning day. It's been a long time coming. Finally, somebody understands how much this matters, how much it means here to the fans and the fan base compared to the Pac-12, where it doesn't really matter. They're way too busy living a completely different lifestyle. The whole, they're just different. The West Coast is just different. The East Coast is kind of that way. You know, it's the same thing. College athletics, when you think college athletics, you don't think of the coasts. You just don't. You just don't. This was a huge day for the Big 12. Congratulations. Welcome back, Colorado. It's a wonderful place to visit for a game. It's a cool setting. Coach Prime is there. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. And I do feel bad for Mizzou. I do. Because, you know, the thought all along with everybody leaving is, well, the Big 12 is going to go away. It's just going to disband. It's going to get picked apart. I'm like, why? Why would the Big 12 get picked apart? There's so much history and tradition, and it matters so much to these schools. How's that going to happen? And ultimately, they've got more television homes now than they've ever had. They're in a better position to make more money off TV now than ever before. Remarkable job. Welcome back, Colorado. KKHI is brought to you by BStock.net in Olathe. It's the old Toys R Us building. It's a giant warehouse. They're an internet company. But they'll save you 30% or more on almost everything electronics. This week, they've got a doorbuster for you. The LG 50-inch LED LCD TV 4K, now just $259. That's crazy. All the TU-7000 Samsungs are marked down crazy low. 75-inch Samsung TU-7000, $529. 70-inch, $429. That's ridiculous. Don't forget the July promos. It's the last full week to take advantage of getting freebies just for leaving BStock.net a Google or Facebook review. Leave a review. Come in and spin the wheel, and you win a prize every single time. There you go. At bstock.net this weekend, 14680 South Flaming Road. The new car image. You got a text from my buddy Brad yesterday. He says, you guys are lighting him up, and he's lighting up your cars. They're looking so sweet after he gets done with them. He and his team will restore your car to better than showroom new. Seriously, you get the ceramic coating on the exterior of your car, it will be shinier and look better than the day you drove it off the showroom. For sure. It's true, and it's free. If you book an interior detail now, he'll do the ceramic coat exterior absolutely free. It's a simple phone call. 816-499-1470. That's 816-499-1470. TheNewCarImage.com. The website is TheNewCarImage.com. And the Finch Knife Company is a proud sponsor of KKHI. We love Spencer and Steve over there. They're awesome dudes. They've started up a great local company making the best pocket knives in the world. Check them all out online at finchknifeco.com. Or you can see them at Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole and Teague Tractor. We love these guys. The Flint series is out. The Hatfield series is out. They're brand new. You can see every different series of knife on their website, finchknifeco.com. I love, personally, the Cherry Bomb collection. It's awesome. They're born in Kansas City, and every knife is designed here. They do about 6 to 8 new designs every year. Collect them all or pick the one that you just got to keep in your pocket at all times. FinchKnifeCo.com. All right, more football news. The NFL, Joe Burrow, the Bengals quarterback, was carted off the field Thursday with a calf injury. Pretty simple little maneuver. He was rolling to his right. Non-contact, not really active, just, you know, the best way to describe most of training camp is like walking through. They kind of do walkthroughs, everything simple, no contact. You hate hearing about injuries. I'm going to apply the same standard to Joe Burrow I did with Kadarius Toney earlier. You hate hearing these injuries where they're doing very little and their body breaks down on them. Kadarius Toney was fielding a punt. No pads, wasn't going to get hit, just catching a punt and quote-unquote tweaks his knee that's been a problem. I'm counting Kadarius Toney off this team this year. Y'all can count him in if you want. I'm counting him out. They're talking about maybe the start of the year, He had a problem with his knee in the offseason. He was injured with the Giants. They dumped him on us. I'm counting him out. Anything I get out of Kadarius Toney now is a bonus. Because if he's just standing there catching punts and gets hurt, what happens when they start playing? He played in parts of 10 games last year. He started and finished four. He has started and finished four games with the Chiefs. How many of you think he's going to start and finish this year? All right, so I'm going to apply that a little bit to Joe Burrow here. This is scary for the Bengals because you shouldn't have a guy that young, that important, and that, to be honest, that great. I mean, he's been to a Super Bowl. He's a great player. Joe Burrow's terrific. You shouldn't be rolling right and have a calf injury that requires a cart to take you off the field. That's bad. That's really, really, really bad. Now, sounds like it's not that maybe they were overly cautious with the cart and carting him off. Man, you hate hearing this. I mean, we've seen Mahomes has had foot injuries, ankles and feet has been his thing. We've seen that. We've watched it. We saw the kneecap that time do the weird thing. We've seen some things. Those were in games. Those were getting rolled over on or a quarterback sneak and he's pushing and the knee thing happened. We've seen Mahomes get hurt. I'm not saying that, you know, he's not immune to injury. But I don't remember a time where he was just in a regular practice and, uh-oh, he's rolling out and let's get the cart. Let's get him out of here. That's not good, man. That's not good. And calf muscles, calf injuries can be very tricky. They're downplaying it, making it sound like it's not much. But once that happens, don't you kind of have to watch for that? It's not a cramp. It's a calf injury. They're saying he didn't cramp up and, hey, let's get him out of here and whatever. That's not good. I'm not predicting some sort of doomsday scenario for Joe Burrow and the Bengals. But boy, the last thing you want to hear is your young quarterback just reaching his prime is rolling right in a non-contact routine little drill and has a calf injury that requires a cart to take him out. Not a good day for the Cincinnati Bengals. Sean Payton is the new coach of the Denver Broncos, and he had a great day Thursday. This guy just unloaded on what happened in Denver last year. Sean Payton says of Nathaniel Hackett as the head coach last year. First, understand this. Sean Payton is taking all the pressure off his team by saying this stuff, all accountability and responsibility away from his team by saying this stuff. He is supporting and defending his quarterback and his entire team. He's stepping up and saying, it wasn't your fault, guys. You do it my way, and we're going to kick some ass this year. That's what he's saying. But he went to the media and said of Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson's poor statistics, he said, well, Russell Wilson hasn't faded at all. This is a great player. He said, I love what I see in Russell Wilson. He said of the Denver Broncos last year, quote, it was one of the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. What? I love Sean Payton. I hate Sean Payton, but I love Sean Payton. I got to stay by what I've always said. I love people in sports that they say things, and Sean Payton is not afraid to say it. Earlier in the week, he called out the NFL for their punishment policy for players and gambling. He lost a player for the entire season. Was critical of the. This guy doesn't give two flips about anyone or anything other than his football team. He will do anything to win. It is proven in the past because he cheated, got caught, got suspended. He's been in trouble. This guy will stop short of nothing to win football games. This is about team building. It's about building up his quarterback. He says, oh, great. Last year, Denver won the offseason with pomp and circumstance. They did. They won the offseason. Everybody, I was talking big about the Broncos. I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to be a lot harder. Russell Wilson just came to town. This is going to get tricky. And you had to look at Denver and think, okay, in a lot of games they were close, they just couldn't score. Their offense was no good. Sean Payton should fix that. They should just be much better this year. There's just no question Denver should be much better this year. The best part is Payton saying what they blew last year was they won the offseason. They ran around and told each other how great they are and pomp and circumstance, he says. And then he said, kind of like the Jets this year with Hard Knocks and everybody talking about the Jets. Here's his quote. You watch, unquote, is what Sean Payton said about the Jets. that they won the offseason but won't be any good in season. You watch, he says. Wow, that is strong. Nathaniel Hackett, the former Broncos coach, is the offensive coordinator of the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is the new quarterback, and the Jets play at Denver October 8th. This is going to be a major story in the NFL this year. Sean Payton calling out Nathaniel Hackett for last year in Denver, now the offensive coordinator in New York with the Jets, and Sean Payton says, you watch, they'll suck. He just came out and said it. You watch, Jets are going to suck. I love it when people say things. That's awesome. In baseball, this is just remarkable. We probably don't spend enough time talking about the exploits of Shohei Ohtani. The Angels played a doubleheader. Ohtani went out and threw a 9-inning complete game shutout. The first game. The second game, he hits 2 home runs. What? I mean, what can you say? What can you add to that? The dude is a freak. He's a baseball player like we have never, ever seen before. 9-inning complete game shutout. Second game, doubleheader, 2 home runs. Wow. All right, the weekend's coming up, and we'd like to remind you that it's a great weekend to go visit our friends at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. They're also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. Amini's has a great selection of games for your game room and bar stools and furniture and all kinds of cool stuff at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. You like pinball, golden tee, pool tables, shuffleboard game tables, poker tables, bar stools. It's all right there, and it's the good stuff. This is the best you can get. Amini's is online at aminis.com. If you want to see some of their products or visit their showroom, they've been there for decades. 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. It's Amini's. Window World is simply the best for less. They've won the J.D. Power Award again for customer satisfaction. That's outstanding. They don't just have great American-made products that with lifetime warranties and 0% financing. They win customer service awards for outstanding customer service, installation, and care after the sale. That's why they're simply the best for less. Window World's the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, online at windowskansascity.com. Cross Kitchens KC is Kansas City's remodeler. We love these folks. Tim and Brittany are just awesome people. You're going to love Tim too. He'd love to come to your house, take a look at the room that you're considering. No pressure, never any pressure. Take a look at it and say, yeah, we could do this, 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 this. They'll draw it up. They'll give you a 3D rendering, show you what it will look like. Then you decide if you want to do it. He'll never, ever, ever pressure you. But he'd love to discuss what's possible at your home to bring it back to life. Whether it's just new countertops or a complete remodel of a kitchen, bathroom, or a man cave. CrossKitchensKC.com. On to the news. We're having so much fun watching all this Hunter Biden stuff. I mean, it's just great. The best part of Hunter Biden's plea arrangement, getting kicked out by the judge in that case, and she's awesome, Mary Ellen Noreika, is what she said to Hunter and what they've done to Hunter at this point. Now, I've got a buddy who grounds me a lot of time on these things. And he said, listen, this is the Bidens. They can come up with all kinds of lame excuses and get around things and whatever. I'm like, you're right. No question. But when the judge is sitting there in the courtroom telling the lawyers that she's not going to rubber stamp this thing, and this plea arrangement is, quote, not worth the paper it's written on, unquote, and for you two parties to get your butts out of here and come up with something better and bring it back to me, report back in a couple of weeks, and I think there will be a new plea deal. I don't think there's going to be some big trial of Hunter Biden. I think there will be a new plea deal. The ointment in this thing, the sticky stuff, was in the plea deal, it was complete immunity. No matter what they ever find down the road on Hunter Biden or any of this international stuff they were doing, influence peddling, all he was just going to be immune for life to anything. Now, he's immune to jail or conviction, because his dad can pardon him at any point. The White House has said, nope, no pardon. Pardon's not on the table. That's what they say today. That's what they say today, but who knows? But the judge looks him in the eye, and then they fill out all the paperwork, and it gets filed, and it says, no alcohol, no drugs. We want to drug test you, and Well, no firearms, certainly. And we want to see that you're looking for a job. She treated him like some 16-year-old kid in juvie. We're going to test you. No alcohol, no drugs, get a job, clean, get your act together. This was the thing Hunter Biden's parents never told him. I mean, I don't even have to have lived in that house, and I know how it went. He made his own rules, and they just said, oh, we love you. We love you. It's okay. We love you. Nobody ever told him, get a freaking job, cut your hair. That's a metaphor, right? Take a shower, cut your hair, straighten your tie. No, nobody ever told him those things. He's just gotten away with everything his whole life. And now the judge is like, no booze, no drugs, no guns, get a job. How humiliating is that for the entire Biden family? That there's finally an adult in the room that tells Hunter Biden what he's needed to hear for years. That's my favorite part of all of this. Not that he will abstain from alcohol, drugs, guns, or even look for work. Not that he will, just the fact that they slapped it on him and said, straighten up and fly right. You loser. The judge couldn't have said it louder. You are a loser. You're a loser. You're the worst among us. You're a loser. That's what she said. And in the end, that's got to be, that just has to be as painful as anything anybody could do to him. You know, it's not the media criticizing him. You know, it's not some columnist writing. No, it's a judge in a federal court. You freaking loser. I love it. Oh, our headline of government is awesome. You know, we all love big government. We all just trust the government to do the right things. They're so smart. They're so good. Whew. Wow. Worse and worse. How about this Jackson County tax valuation fiasco? Property tax. Everybody's complaining in Jackson County about valuations, and it's a mess. For a lot of people, it's been very, very difficult. To show you how bad they are just at governing, I enter one former home of the great Patrick Mahomes. They lowered the valuation of that home from $1.8 to $1.4 million. That means you pay less property tax. So, okay. But the house just sold for $3 million. We've got a $3 million house that was valued at $1.8 and it was lowered to $1.4 in its valuation. And it sold for more than twice that. Government's great, isn't it? Don't we all just love the government? Private business is sometimes a little bizarre too. We have followed closely, almost to a fault. I've spent too much time probably talking about this Bud Light boycott, but it is now hitting home. $16 billion in market cap lost by Anheuser-Busch. The formerly number one beer in America, Bud Light, is not even in the top 10 now. Anheuser-Busch has announced they're laying off 380 corporate employees. These are not at the distributors. These are corporate employees. They're laying off 380. That's a significant number. But it goes beyond that. A glass company with glass bottling plants where they make the bottles in North Carolina and Louisiana, a glass company, is laying off 645 workers because they are not making bottles for Bud Light. There's no bottles being made. They don't need very many. They're not selling any beer. We don't need these bottles. A glass company that makes bottles for Anheuser-Busch is laying off 645 workers. It's a shame. You feel bad. You know, you'd hope that glass company could maybe call up Yingling or somebody, one of these brands that's just doing better and better and better, and say, hey, can we get a piece of your contract? Can we make some of your bottles? I don't know. I'm going to guess most glass companies, as you know, Miller Lite or Coors Light or Modelo, are making more beer. They can brew more beer. I'm assuming that whoever provides them with the glass bottles can also increase the production and volume of the number of bottles. So how does this bottle making company survive? Where do they go? Where do they turn? I don't know. That's a stunning number of people that they've laid off. 645 laid off because they are not making Bud Light bottles. Did you see this story out of DC that there was a fight, an argument a face-to-face, almost knockdown dragout between Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy and liberal Congressman Eric Swalwell. You know Swalwell. He's the guy from California who slept with the Chinese spy. He's just a slimy, goofy, he's the worst. It doesn't get much lower than Eric Swalwell. In June, during the time where they were censuring in Congress Adam Schiff for his role in the Trump impeachment and the things that he said, and he was wrong, and it's proven to be wrong, they censured Adam Schiff, which doesn't really matter much to the public, but in-house, in Congress, it really matters. Like, it's, you take it worse. The public's immune to a lot of this stuff. Like, Trump was impeached and people didn't care. It's like, he's impeached. We know it's political. So you see a censure of Adam Schiff and most of us laughed at it and go, okay, that's it. It's over. Well, not Eric Swalwell. He was really mad. So he confronted on June 22nd, Kevin McCarthy in the hallway. People saw this, not cameras, not media. He confronts McCarthy and calls him the P word. He goes, you're a blanky. And McCarthy, they're now face to face. They're really close to going at it. And McCarthy says, you call me a P word again, and I'm going to kick your ass. And Swalwell, I mean, they are nose to nose, and they're about to go for it. Why not? We see it in other countries, parliament, different places. Something breaks down. We see guys go after each other. I'm good with this. Let's do the cage match. To heck with Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg. Let's cage match these boys. Let's see McCarthy and Swalwell in a cage match. Let's do it. Let's do it for charity. Winner take all. My charity or yours. Winner take all. Can you imagine the Speaker of the House and a congressman comes up, gets in his face and calls him names like that? I think McCarthy showed pretty good restraint for that not to really get bigger, to be honest. I'd love to see some cell phone footage of that come out. I would love to see it. Our final on this Friday is brought to you by Advantage Termite and Pest Control, your new pest control company. Go with the best. Go with the great American patriots and conservatives. AdvantageTPC.com. Aaron and his family have owned this business for decades. They're the best anywhere for your home or your business. Advantage Termite and Pest Control, 913-768-8989, online AdvantageTPC.com. The weekend is here. Saturday is a great day to visit Joslyn's Jewelry, whether you need a little repair, you just want your jewelry cleaned up, or you want to shop for something shiny. It's all right there, non-commissioned sales reps, awesome people. Joslyn's Jewelry, Gary's usually in there on Saturdays. Go on in and say hello. If not, Dave and Cameron are there. We've known them for years. They're just great people. This is the way to do it. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. And don't forget the promo code at MyPillow. If you're surfing around looking for some new sheets, a mattress topper, slippers, the MyPillow bundle, $99 for four of them. If you're looking for any of that this weekend, MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, please use the promo code KKHI. It is the maximum discount. There is no bigger discount than that one. So you'll get the maximum discount with the promo code KKHI at MyPillow.com and MyStore.com. Our final is a music video that is going to be very popular of an artist that I can't name one song, and his even more famous wife, who's pregnant and about ready to give birth to their baby. The rapper is named A$AP Rocky. I've heard of A$AP Rocky. I just can't tell you what he sings or raps. He's got a new song called Riot. And the video is filmed in Kansas City. So this happened this summer. There's a production company here that has become sort of close or friends with A$AP Rocky, the rapper. And they're based here, and they said, well, why don't you come here? We got a great place to shoot this video. They make it look like it's kind of in the hood or something. So they go to the West Bottoms in Kansas City. And it had a lot of extras. There's like dozens of people in this music video. It's a profane song, of course. It's just littered with profanity. But the video was shot here, and we just mentioned earlier this week that the state of Missouri is now giving tax credits to film movies and things like that in the state of Missouri. They're trying to get people to set up shop for 3 months in kind of rural areas and shoot a movie, not come in for 2 days and shoot in Kansas City. But I guess this is a nice step in the right direction. his life partner that's pregnant is Rihanna. And she was here too. She is not in the music video, but she came along with A$AP Rocky. Apparently they're a pair. The famous pair was here this summer. They filmed the video for his new song called Riot, and it's out. If you can handle the profanity or understand the words, go to YouTube and watch the video. It's called Riot by A$AP Rocky. It was filmed right here in KC. And that is our final. We hope you have a great weekend. And we appreciate you hitting for... We had the Camota College Golf Tournament yesterday, and it was fantastic. At Sycamore Ridge, which is in great shape. It's well worth playing. If you play different golf courses, play around. Sycamore Ridge, go play it. They don't have Zoysia anywhere. It's bent grass. They have a huge lake there with all the water they can drink. So everything is just green and lush. It's spectacular. We had a wonderful day. Camota College had its biggest golf tournament ever. Josh Arnold's done a great, great job. We appreciate the awesome work that he's done there. We had a hugely fun time. One guy in the tournament got a hole in one on the 13th hole. That's spectacular. There was no prize on that hole. There was a prize on a different hole in one hole. But there were so many ways to make birdies. They had all these different, if you donated some money here, you got to, drop the ball 150 yards out on a par five and all kinds of different ways to score low. So we just bought everything all day. And we shot 20 under, which I've never done in a scramble before. And we finished 9 back of the winners at 29 under. That's how many eagles you could just basically buy. But they raised a ton of money. And I purchased in the auction 2 tickets in the end zone suites at Memorial Stadium in Lawrence for the KU-K-State game. And Jessica and her friend are going to go. We're going to let the KU fans have that. And I'll have some of the K-State boys over to the house that day. And we'll watch the game here. Got to separate ways. KU being good in football now, it's a whole different deal. K-State being good in basketball is a whole different deal in the Keatsman household. All these years, it was like, okay, you win all the basketball games, we win all the football games. KU's getting better in football, so we're going to go separate ways on that day. I don't think we should be watching together. I don't think that'd be healthy for us. So we purchased that, and the money went straight to camotocollege.org. And we'd love it if you could make a $5, $10, $20 donation. They'd love to help out all these great veterans that are assimilating into the private sector. Camotocollege.org. Way to go, Josh. Well done. Appreciate you having us out. And thank you to all the listeners that went. Many of you walked up to me at the golf tournament and said, oh, I heard about it here, and I came and played. I met a foursome that drove over from Topeka to play in it. Thank you so much. We've got listeners everywhere. And it was full. It was sold out. It was awesome. A great day with CamotoCollege.org. And thank you so much to our listeners that came out and supported the charity and that support this podcast every single day.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.